Okay. All right. So the last thing that we learned about was Psukei d'Zimra. We went through the last parts of the last section of Psukei d'Zimra, including, I think, Ashrei and maybe some of the Hallelukas, and a little bit of the end. So the next section in the Tefillah that we'll discuss briefly is the discussion of Kaddish and Baruch, or at least Kaddish for tonight. Kaddish, the reason why we're discussing Kaddish now, even though Kaddish actually already took place, we already had Kaddish at the beginning of Davening before you get to Psukei d'Zimra, have Kaddish Derabban. But here, this Kaddish is actually an actual part of Davening. This Kaddish is not just said by one of the mourners after saying a teaching from Chazal, which is Kaddish Derabban. This Kaddish is actually an important part of the Tefillah that sort of segues between Psukei d'Zimra and Berachos Kriyat Shema. It's basically right in the middle, and it sort of gets us in the mood for elevating our tefillah, upping it a notch, let's just say. We'll talk about Berachos Kriyat Shema either next week or the next time we have a shir. But Kaddish basically gets us to sort of thinking about not just praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but also not just praising him for what he's done in this world, and what we see, the amazing things that he's given us, but also what we call Kiddush Hashem, okay, sanctifying Hashem's name, okay, meaning we say psukim, we say things that basically declare our commitment and our understanding of Hashem's greatness in a way which is like a more, you know, Kiddush Hashem. How is this more so? I mean, what we'll see here is how this is even a higher level than what we learned before about Psukei d'Zimra. So basically, what we have to understand, number one, what is Kaddish based on? Meaning, what are the words? Where do the words, some of the words come from? And not all the words are from Psukim, but at least some of the main words come from Psukim and some from the Gemara, where they come from. Also to understand some of the halachos of Kaddish that are important for us. And from that, we'll see, we'll try to appreciate a little bit of the greatness of Kaddish.
Anyway. Start recording.
Okay. So basically, if you look at the first two words, okay, which are Yitzgadal v'Yitzgadash or Yitzgadil v'Yitzgadish, we'll have to get to that in a few minutes. So those two words actually come from a pasuk in Yechezkel. Yechezkel has a pasuk in Perek Lamed Ches, where basically he's talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu after he performed some of the miracles in the future times of this whole story of Gog and Magog.
Not sure. I just started over a couple times.
No. Let's. Okay. So basically, the Olas Tamid here, the sefer we've been looking at some of the time, so you can even look on here. So he basically introduces Kaddish in the following way, right? He says, "A Kaddish v'aniyasa hu tefila kedosha v'nora." A Kaddish, an answering Kaddish, is a very holy and awesome tefila. She is Kaddish mo'yis ala b'chol ha'olos, that God's name is sanctified in all of the worlds. Meaning, it's not just something that happens in this world. Meaning, we declare HaKadosh Baruch Hu sanctified in this world, but the reverberations of the Kaddish, of what we do, actually has effects all the way through all the upper worlds, which means it's pretty powerful, okay? Much more powerful than just saying that Hashem is great and you know, that he makes nice skies and birds and stuff like that. So you have to be very careful about your kavana with Kaddish. Okay, we've said earlier in this sefer at least that a person should basically try to put all of his energy into and all of his goal into tefillah that should be looked for on behalf of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. She is Kaddish Shemo Hagadol B'chol Ha'olamos, that Hashem's name should be sanctified in all of the worlds. Meaning that's a general idea for tefillah, but specifically when it comes to Kaddish and a few other things. Okay, when certain times in tefillah where it comes up at the end of Shemon Esrei and other times that we say, Hashem, act on your own behalf for yourself. Okay. Okay, so basically what we really want is that we're not just declaring that Hashem's name is great, but we're saying Yitzgadal or Yitzgadil, V'yitkadesh, again, different versions of how you say it, how you pronounce it, means that it should be great. It's in the future form. Okay, Yitkadel is the future form. Hashem's name should be great, and it should be sanctified. Shmei Rabba, his great name. Okay, meaning it's not just a declaration. It's also... It's also something which is a tefillah, okay? Meaning we're davening that we want HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name to be sanctified. So he says here, so this is also part of the point. They want Amalek's name to be destroyed quickly, and then that's when the Torah says that Hashem's throne will be complete when Amalek's name is destroyed. That's what the Torah says, that Hashem's name will be complete and his throne will be complete. That's what the Kadosh means. When we say that Hashem's name should be great, as the Torah says in Orach Chaim. And again, you know, Amalek doesn't necessarily have to mean only Amalek. Amalek could be the forces of evil in the world. Meaning we're trying to say that Hashem's name should be sanctified such that if we destroy the forces of evil in the world, then that's exactly automatically what's going to happen. Hashem's name is going to be sanctified. And if we sanctify Hashem's name enough on our own, then maybe that will help to destroy the forces of evil. So that's basically what's happening here. We want Hashem to be shown great to the rest of the world so that there's no forces of evil left, which is basically a tefillah for the time of Mashiach. Okay, meaning Kaddish is essentially, at least in part, a tefillah for the time of Mashiach. But what's happening is that we are sort of getting to the point of trying to make that happen on our own, meaning we are part of the solution here of making the time of Mashiach come faster by sanctifying Hashem's name. Every single time that we go and sanctify Hashem's name and we say we want Hashem's name to be great and Hashem's name to be sanctified, we are pushing ourselves a little bit closer to the Geula, which again, by the way, is what we said before, based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel. Okay? That's what he says in the next paragraph in the Olas Tamid, quoting the Tur. The Tur points out, Yiskadel v'Yiskadesh, Husad al pi amikra is based on the pasuk in Yechezkel, v'yiskadilti v'yiskadishti. Okay, what we said, v'nodati le'enei ha'goyim rabim. All right, that I God, will be known to many nations. V'gadu ki ani Hashem, and they will know that I am Hashem. Ha'amor b'lechem es Gog u'Magog, which is mentioned, as we said, in the times of the war of Gog u'Magog. So that's basically talking about the times of Mashiach. Again, there's a question about whether Gog u'Magog takes place before Mashiach, and during Mashiach, after Mashiach. But it's that time, and that's where the words come from. Vizkadil to vizkadishti, Sha'az, the Olas Tamid says, Sha'az yiskadil shmo, based on the tour, Az yiskadil shmo shal kadosh baruch. That's the time when Hashem's name is going to be sanctified. When it says in Zechariah that we say at the end of Aleinu, Vayasham l'melech ha'kol ha'aretz, Vayom ha'u yasham echad ushmo echad. Hashem's name will be upon the whole land, and at that day Hashem will be one. So essentially what we're doing is we're davening that time should happen, and we're sort of, ourselves are creating the reality where that time hopefully will come a little bit sooner. Based on that, we can understand a little bit better some of the halachos of Kaddish. So let's look at the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and some of the halachos that come up in terms of Kaddish, and through that we'll be able to understand and appreciate even a little more the importance of what we say when we say Kaddish.
Which volume?
Do you have a Mishnah Berurah?
Which volume?
It's volume one.
Okay.
Here. Take a look here in Siman Nun Vav. Let's see.
As soon as the recording,
here.
I can check it if you want.
Okay. No, that's okay. But. Yes. No, just look at that. Okay. So basically, the Shulchan Aruch says in Siman Nun Vav, he says, Yesh l'chavein banias hakadosh. Okay, Siman Nun Vav Sif Aleph. Okay, and this is from the Gemara, actually, based on Rashi and other Rishonim, that one should have kavana when you answer Kaddish. Okay, meaning it's not just something you mumble, you're really supposed to have proper kavana when you say Kaddish. Basically, if you look here in the Mishnah Berurah, okay, so this is a very, very, very important point. A few points. Actually, you know what? Let's continue in the Ramah in the rest of the Shulchan Aruch, and we'll go back to the Mishnah Berurah afterwards. The Ramah, we'll skip the Ramah because this is a side point here. He talks about how to pronounce the words, but if you skip to the next line of the Shulchan Aruch where he says "V'la anoso so b'kol ram," after the first line of the Ramah, he says "V'la anoso so b'kol ram." Okay? So, meaning we said you have to have kavana when you recite Kaddish, and you have to respond to Kaddish b'kol rab, okay, out loud, meaning you don't just whisper it. When you say Amen or Brichu or Yehesh Me Rabba, you're not supposed to just whisper, you're supposed to say it out loud. And you should try, this is based on the Zohar actually, that not only should you just answer Kaddish, you should run to go hear Kaddish. Okay, now this is very different than, you know, the perspective that some people have at the end of davening, where there's, you know, depending on which minyan you go to, you could have, you know, three or four Kaddishes in a row from, depending on which nisach you daven, after, right before Aleinu, and either after Aleinu or after Shir Shal Yom, and in Kelokeinu Pitu Makatoris, and another Kaddish, you know, you just Kaddish after Kaddish, and oh, it's getting boring, it's dragging, you know, especially on Shabbos, drag sometimes. So this is a very, very different perspective based on the Zohar in the Shulchan Aruch, that you should actually run to go hear Kaddish. Why is that? Because, again, we'll see in the Mishnah Berurah, basically we already understand a little bit of the greatness of Kaddish, because Kaddish is such a great opportunity to sanctify HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, and it has so many tremendous effects on the upper world, which we don't always understand even, but it has so much power. So the fact that you can be a part of that is something you should run for the opportunity. Okay, you didn't realize what you were running to, but if you appreciate the greatness of Kaddish, and this is a really, really, really important thing, and it's a big schus to be able to participate in Kaddish, and you should even run to go hear it. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, based on the Zohar. Really pretty, pretty interesting. Okay, so let's go to the Mishnah Berurah now. If you look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sivkat and Aleph, so here, the Mishnah Berurah is going to explain what exactly is the most important thing about Kaddish, meaning why is it so important to have Kavanah for Kaddish. So he says here, basically, based on the Gemara that the Shulchan Aruch is quoting, he tells you the rest of the Gemara, which is a very famous Gemara. It says, Ki Aru Chazal, because Chazal have said, Kol ha'one amen yehesh mei rabba mivarech b'chol kocho koren lo gzardino. Okay, now the power that we just mentioned of Kaddish is not only that it affects the upper world and it's a tefillah bringing, you know, the Geula a little bit closer, trying to sanctify Hashem's name in that way. It says also Chazal have said in that Gemara that anybody who answers amen yehesh mei rabba, okay, mivarech the mel maya, at least the middle, you know, answer part, which is, we'll see, is the most important part of Kaddish. We basically, Hashem will tear up his evil decree, his gzar dino. Okay, meaning if you have something, God forbid, an evil decree hanging over you, which you may not even realize about, from Shemayim, and you say, Amen Yehesh Mei Rabba, b'chol kocho, with all of your energy, with all of your strength, then it is quite likely that in Shemayim they will tear up your gzar din. Now, again, it doesn't mean you can't just have to, you know, whisper it, or to mumble it. It means you have to really say it out loud. You don't have to scream it, but you have to say it out loud. And you also have to make sure that you really, really mean it. You put all your energy into it. Okay, you really, really concentrate for that line. So he says, "Uperishu arishonim." Okay, the Rishonim explain it. Deratzon lomer. What does that mean? Bechol kocho, with all of your strength. Bechol kavanoso, with all of your concentration. I mean, you should really concentrate. What we just said. Uvechol evar, with all of your limbs of your body. You should say with your heart and your soul. Okay, really emotionally. Okay, not just a standard statement, but real emotion going into it. Not like just basically using, moving your lips and saying the words, but your heart not being there. Okay, your heart has to be in it to understand and appreciate what you're saying and to really have kavana when you say it. That Hashem's great name should be blessed in this world and through all the worlds for eternity. Okay, and this of course is a very key point, not just in our davening, but also when you in Avelis, when you have Kaddish before you go to the cemetery. So this is also a key point, part of the Levaya, where there also has a very different connotation to say Kaddish, because there somebody just died. But the same idea that you're asking to sanctify Hashem's name in a way which, you know, again, means a lot more there, and it's much harder to do when you're upset, when you're mourning. But there also we want to sanctify Hashem's name even when somebody passes away. So that also plays a key role. Then the Mishnah Berurah continues here. So he says, Gam yechavim l'shmoah kadesh mipi ha-shatz k'dei she-yeda al ma-hu ona. Amin yeh-shmirah v'amin sha'achar damiran bi-alma. Okay, you should also have kavana to hear the Kaddish from the Shliach Tzibur so that you know what you're answering for, meaning not just that you hear everybody else answering, but you can actually hear the words of the Kaddish from the Shliach Tzibur so that you know when you're saying Yehesh Mei Rabba, you know what he's up to, you can understand that it's up to that, and the Amen after Damiran Bialma, that you know exactly what's going on, which Kaddish it's for, and what you're responding to. So that's important also, if you're able to hear the Kaddish. The Kol Shekain, and this is a key point also, Kol shekein, certainly shetzarech lizaher ma'od u'me'od. You have to be very, very careful. It's not just tzarech lizaher. It's not just, you know, to be careful, but ma'od, you have to be very careful, and ma'od u'me'od. Really, really careful, right? Doubly careful. Triply careful. To do what? Shelo la'siach b'emza kaddish. To not talk in the middle of kaddish. O kedusha. Or kedusha. Kedusha, I think everybody knows already. The kaddish sometimes gets, you know, falls by the wayside. U kedisav meseches derech eretz, as it says in one of the minor meseches derech eretz. Rabbi Chama ashkechei l'Eliyahu, that Rabbi Chama found Eliyahu Hanavi, b'kama alfe gmolin t'unim af v'chema. Okay? The Shalom Le'elu. Okay. Cool. Shalom. If you have your phone, you can just...
Just in case.
Yeah.
Oh, we're not recording?
Not sure.
Okay. It is, but just in case. Okay?
Okay. If you haven't, turn yours off.
Yeah, understand. Okay. So he has these camels, okay, which had a lot of anger, apparently, on the camels. Again, very, very, very interesting. So he says... basically, Eliyahu was basically upset, and he was basically going to punish people because he says that anybody who speaks during these times, meaning during Kaddish or Kedusha, the Torah says about them that Lo Osi Karasa Yaakov, you didn't call me Yaakov, meaning that basically, if you're not paying attention during the Kaddish. So then, basically, we're not even called by the name of Yaakov and Bnei Yisrael. We've lost our honor, our dignity of that badge because of what we're doing. So basically, the point here is that Kaddish, again, Kedusha, I think we all know already, but Kaddish is something which we should know, but we don't always think about. That to not speak during Kaddish and to have Kavana is very, very, very important. And it's, you know, as if it's an affront to Kaddish Baruch Hu. If we don't respond properly, and there's more here, he says the kasu b'sefer chasidim. It says in the sefer chasidim, the Mishnah Berurah points out that masa b'chasid echad. There was an incident with one chasid shara. If you want to look on here, we're in the Mishnah Berurah now. Shara l'chasid acher b'moso. Okay, he saw another chasid who was basically dying. Upanav morikos, and his face was like all yellow, it was all lost of color. Why does your face look like that? Something's wrong, obviously. Okay, so basically the chassid basically was dying, and he looked terrible. Basically, he said he already knew somehow that he was being punished because he had spoken during the time of Vayechulu and Magen Avos Friday night, which is not our topic now, but just be aware. Okay, Friday night davening after Shmona Esrei, we say Vayechulu and Magen Avos. So this chassid got in trouble, major trouble, because he was talking during that time. And the halacha, indeed, is that you're not allowed to talk during that time. And also during Yisgadel, meaning during Kaddish. Mm. Okay? So very, very, very important. Another one, they say Ramata Moshe, he quotes here in Mishnah Berurah, Hevi B'Shem Midrash, one of the Midrashim, Shechacham Echad, Nisra'al Talmido B'Chalom. Okay, one wise person appeared to his student in a dream. V'ra Talmid, Shayalo Kesem Mitzchah, and he saw that in his dream he had a big, big, blemish on his forehead. Mm. Why do you have that? He says, because I didn't refrain from talking when the chazan was saying kaddish. Wow. Okay? This is pretty hard stuff here. All right? Vafilo Mishnah Berurah says, lahar her b'divrei Torah, asur b'shash ha'chazan omer kaddish. Wow, even more extreme. Okay? This is what the Mishnah Berurah says. Again, there are some maybe that say otherwise, but this is what the Mishnah Berurah says, that even to think about Divrei Torah when the Chazan is saying Kaddish, you should not be doing. That's Asur. Because you have to have a lot of Kavana when you answer Kaddish. And if you're busy thinking about the last shir that you listened to, which is a good thing in general, okay, but during Kaddish, that's a very, very bad thing to do. And that's not what you're supposed to be doing. You should be concentrating the entire time on the actual recitation of Kaddish. Okay. So basically, again, this is very important. Again, in the middle of davening, I think, is less controversial, but less problematic. I think, like, this Kaddish before Baruch that we're talking about is most people know, they're not, generally, not talking so much.
Finishing off, like, Yishtabach, you're, like, not done.
So that's what he spoke about. If you're in the middle of davening, so that's a different story. So you can definitely continue davening, and if you're able to try to answer, you should try to answer. We mentioned at the end of Yishtabach, though, if you're in the middle of the bracha, you shouldn't answer. Okay, you should finish the bracha first. Okay, then you get to it. And we're talking about here, you know, again, we're talking about talking. Okay, again, davening, we said before, you can continue davening, maybe answer in the middle if you're able to. But to talk, again, this is especially relevant, I think, is at the end of davening. Because the last couple of kaddish is the end of davening. During the weekend, even more so on Shabbos, you see sometimes people are talking. Okay, I've had people try to talk to me during kaddish. A few more than once. I was a little surprised, but, you know, I just stopped talking. Okay, I said, you have to wait. Okay, we're not going to talk now. I didn't say that. I'm saying I motioned. It was obvious that I didn't want to talk during Kaddish. But, you know, maybe he thought, the guy thought I was crazy. But, but this is very serious stuff in the halacha here. If you're talking during Kaddish, even though you think, okay, fine, even if you answer, and he doesn't say that you're not answering. It could be that you are answering. Mm-hmm. But it's still, if you're talking during Kaddish, you're not concentrating. And that's very, very, very severe, and you could have serious repercussions again in the Olamos HaElyonim here, the upper worlds. And you know, we saw some of these stories that happened to these people. Basically, this is get us in shape here. We should make sure to not talk during Kaddish, other than again if you're in the middle of davening. Okay, very, very important. Okay. So we said before again that Yehesh Me Rav Mavorach is basically the key part of Kaddish, where we're basically sanctifying HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. There's a few more halachas here that we'll look at now. First question is, what is the pronunciation of the Kaddish of Yiskadal v'Yiskadash, Yiskadal v'Yiskadesh? So there's two different versions of this, two different customs. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that the correct pronunciation is Yiskadal v'Yiskadesh, which is basically modern Hebrew also. Hitpael, Yiskadal v'Yiskadesh. I don't know what your sitter says.
Yiskadal.
Right, so that's the other version. The more traditional version, the more customary version, is to say Yitzgadal. What's the difference? So the difference is that the rest of the tefillah of Kaddish is in Aramaic, if you didn't notice. So in Aramaic, the correct way to say it in Aramaic is Yitzgadal v'Yitzgadash, with the patach. In Hebrew, it would be Yitzgadal v'Yitzgadash. That's Hitzpael. That would be the correct way to say it in Hebrew. In the pasuk that it's based on, in Yechezkel, so the language is Yitzgadal v'Yitzgadishti, which is basically Hebrew, it would be Yitzgadal v'Yitzgadash. But because of this, because we have Aramaic, which would be Yitzgadal v'Yitzgadash, and yet the pasuk is based on the Hebrew. So there's two different, as we said, there's two different versions of how to say it, and both are fine. Okay, meaning the Mishnah Berurah here seems to prefer Yitzgadal v'Yitzgadash. He says in Sifkat and Bet that it's based on that pasuk, and then we're not going to read it inside, but he says it should be with a tseri. Tseri is the two dots underneath Yitzgadal, the dale. That's the tseri. So again, that's what he says, but again, a lot of people say Yitzgadal v'Yitzgadash, including myself. So there's room to rely on that as well, and either one is really fine. Whatever you're used to doing is fine. I think in the Piskachu was here, he has a piece about this, but I don't see it right now. Exactly how to pronounce it. So anyway, so that's that. Okay. What other halachas does he have here in the Mishnah, in the Ramah and the Shulchan Aruch at this point? So there's a lot more, discussion here, but basically we'll just quickly look at here, take a look at the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkat and Hey and Vav. As we mentioned before, right? We'll repeat it again now. The Shulchan Aruch, we said before, said you should say Kaddish out loud. You should respond to Kaddish out loud to Kol Ram. Uli Yishtadil Larutz Kedev Yishmoa Kaddish. You should even run, try to run to go hear Kaddish, okay? Really crazy, right? Sifkat and Vav in the Mishnah Berurah. See where it is? Hey and Vav in the Mishnah Berurah. Okay, so Hey says, why are you responding to Kaddish out loud? Because you arouse your kavana when you say it out loud. And through the voice, that's how some of the decrees are canceled out. Meaning it's not just saying Yehesh Me'ra v'chol kochos, we said before, it's also if you say it out loud with intensity, so that the sound, the noise, actually is able to cancel out the evil decrees. But he says, okay, and don't like scream it out so loud that you make a fool out of yourself. Okay, he's not saying that. There's also a halacha, which that you're not supposed to say, respond louder than the chazan says it. Mm. Okay, meaning you shouldn't say louder than the chazan. But in general, again, just you don't scream it away. They'll make yourself a fool that people are going to laugh at you, because if people laugh at you, then you make things worse. You cause them to have a sin that they wouldn't have had otherwise. But what it means is you should say it out loud. You say it with intensity. And in a loud voice that can be heard.
Which part are you talking about?
Yehesh Me'rab. Oh, really any part of responding to Kaddish, but especially Yehesh Me'rab.
Some people give like a very, amen.
Right.
Like, that's not good.
So again, if it's as long as people are not going to yell and laugh at you, then it's not so bad. But there is this
it's louder than the chazan,
right? So that's the question. If it's louder than the chazan, so there is what to be said that maybe it shouldn't be louder than the chazan. I was going to try to find where he says that. Unfortunately, I don't see it right now. Maybe we'll go back to that next time. We'll go over that again.
And if it's different, also I heard that with just regular mains, just makes a bracha, that your main shouldn't be louder than their bracha.
Same idea, yeah, it's the same idea. Okay. Okay, so maybe we'll come back to that next time. Let's do a couple more points for now before we stop for tonight. Take a look at Sivkat and Vav and Mishnah Berurah. So he says, "Lishma Kaddish Ani as a many Yehesh Meirava who mitzvah gedola mod." Reciting Yehesh Meirava is a great mitzvah. Okay, and he says, "We're not going to read the rest inside." He says that it's even more important to say that more than kedusha. Okay, so if you hear like in a place with three different minyanim at the same time, wow, and each one is up to a different place, So he says that that Yehesh Meirava actually comes first.
Wow.
Okay, very interesting. Okay, last point or second to last point. What is our physical posture when we say Kaddish? So if you look at the Ramah in the next line, right after we left off, he says, "Hagav yesh lamo kishon in Kaddish." You should stand when you say Kaddish. V'chol shavar davar shebekdusha, and any davar shebekdusha, meaning anything that you say with a minion only. Okay, so basically, the Ramah says that we should stand for Kaddish, which makes sense because standing is something we do for very, very important tefillas that are in a higher level. So that's often what happens, and that's what the Ramah says here. Now, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Ches, so this you may already be familiar with, and Sif Katan Ches is V'yesh Omrim She'ein Otzarach Lamod, that you don't have to stand, meaning some people say you don't have to stand for Kaddish. Elo She'kol Kaddish She'tovso Me'umad, but the only thing is, if you're already standing before the Kaddish, then, like Achar Halal, he says, after Halal, Yeshavat Shiyan Al-Main Yesh Mirabi, you shouldn't sit down until after Kaddish is done, or at least the second half of Kaddish. But otherwise, if you're already sitting down, according to the second opinion, which is the opinion of the Maharil and the Taz, you can sit for Kaddish. Okay, that's what he says. The Mishnah Berurah continues, V'yesh lachosh l'divrei ha-machmirim. We should be concerned with the words of the machmirim, meaning basically the Mishnah Berurah says it's better to be machmir for Kaddish, for standing up. Mm-hmm. And that indeed is the practice of most Ashkenazim, is to stand for Kaddish. Okay? And he brings a really interesting source for where he got this from. So I think it's from the Magen Avraham, but look what he says. V'yesh l'ilmod kal v'chomer, you can learn that from a kal v'chomer, may Eglon Melech Moav, okay, the king of Moav, of all people, right? Where is this from? So I don't know if you've learned your Tanakh recently, but Eglon Melech Moav is found in you know which Sefer it's from? The Book of Tanakh? Sefer Shoftim. Okay, Sefer Shoftim Paragimel. All right, there was this Shofet, the judge of Ehud, Ben Gera, I think his name was. And basically, they were going to fight against Moav. And basically, he somehow slipped into Moab to go to the king, and basically went to go assassinate the king. And he again, there's a whole thing in the Tanakh, and the Sefer Shoftim, how he got his way in. And basically, he tells the king that he says, "I have a message from God for you." That's what he says, Eglon Melech Moav. Okay, and look, and surprisingly, Eglon Melech Moav, you know what he does when he hears that? There's a message from God?
Yeah.
He stood up. Yeah, he stood up and said, "Oh, if God is going to give me a message, I better stand up."
Wow.
And what did he do, of course? He stabbed him. He basically stuck a sword into his stomach and stabbed him and killed him. All right, so that's what Ehud gets, Eglon gets for giving us. But you know, he's crystallized in history here in a very positive way, according to these Maharam Makomos, for giving us the source for standing for Kaddish. Okay, which is still, I guess, that's his chus for what he did. He wasn't Jewish. The Kameyatma, he got up of his own initiative, not because he was told to. He got up on his own. Me'al kiso, from his chair. When he heard that there was going to be the word of God, certainly we Hashem's people should stand up if we are sanctifying the name of God. However, as you may be familiar with, in the next line of Kohanus in the Sefer of the Arizal, Shar Hakavanos, the Arizal, it says the Arizal Hayanoi with Kol Hakadishim Shalachar Amida the Shachar's Milchal Arvis Hayinisher Omid. If it was after Shmona Esrei, so that Kaddish you would stand for, as we said before, because you're already standing. Etc. But basically, it seems like the rest of the Kaddishes he would sit down. So that's why a lot of the Sephardim basically sit for Kaddish is based on not the Maharil or the Taz. Those are nice also, but that's not, they don't really care about that. I'm just kidding. They care about it. I'm saying they're not going to base their practice on that, but the Arizal, if the Arizal sat for Kaddish, then that's basically what's practiced in most Sephardi communities and shuls that they're going to sit for Kaddish. But again, if they're already standing for Kaddish, then many of them will stand for Kaddish, though I have seen also some people actually sit down intentionally when it's time for Kaddish. But I think usually, according to these sources, it seems like the best thing to do if you're going to sit for Kaddish is if you're already sitting, you should remain seated. But if you're already standing, then maybe you shouldn't necessarily sit down afterwards. Okay. So that's basically the idea of standing or sitting for Kaddish. There's a bunch of other halachos here, which maybe we'll save for next time. But here, I'll just give you... here, I found it now. Okay, I'll just tell you, we'll just finish off with this question of the how loud you should say for... how loud you should respond for. So he said, how loud you should be when you respond, sorry. So he says, this is from the Piskei Tshuvas. He says, he quotes the Mishnah Berurah that we said before, that you shouldn't be too loud. And then he says, okay, he says that what I was mentioning before about the halacha, in this case, he says you don't have to makbid on. Okay? And sarach lahakbil al the Gemara, and the Shulchan Aruch shaloyag biahona kol yosem nevark, that you shouldn't answer, raise your voice higher than the one who's making the bracha. He says, even though usually that is the case, in Shmona Esrei that is the case, and in other brachos that is the case, but he says here, based on a bunch of the Achronim here that he quotes, he says that you don't have to worry about that here. That's only l'chachila. And if your arousal, your inspiration comes from screaming it out, so he says the hisorus hakavana that comes through saying it out loud, he says that's more important. Okay, that's more important than the idea of not raising your voice louder than the mivar. So because there's a special union of kavana when it comes to Yehesh Meirava and Kaddish, he says that works. And he says basically that Yamin b'choliba, you should believe with all your heart, b'masha omer, with what you say. And if you do that, then they will open up the gates of Gan Eden for you. Okay, very, very nice. He does point out here on the footnote that there are some Achronim that disagree. There were some, the Eliyahu Rabba maybe, and maybe one or two others who do say that maybe you should be careful not to say Kaddish too loud, louder than the Chazan. But he says it seems like the Mishnah Berurah doesn't agree with that, because the Mishnah Berurah, as we saw, he points out that your voice should not be too loud because people will make fun of you, but he doesn't say that you shouldn't be louder than the Chazan. Mm. So it seems like maybe he doesn't hold like that. And he quotes a few other Achronim also that don't hold like that, and brings a few others that do hold like that. So basically it's a machlokas achronim, but it seems like Lamai said that you don't really need to be careful about that. If you're having a lot of kavanah, then you can say louder than the chazan, just not in a way which is, going to make you a laughing stock of the shul. Again, hopefully you're in a place where everybody's doing the same thing. But again, the most important thing is to make sure that we're in a situation where we're not talking during Kaddish and people around us are not talking during Kaddish. That's Bezrat Hashem. If we can get to that point, then we've made progress here. Okay. Anyway, so just to conclude with what we said before, and we'll continue to do a few more points about Kaddish next week, is that we said that according to the Gemara, if you answer Amen Yehesh Meirava B'chol Kocha with all of your power and all your concentration, so then you will you'll be able to merit that they will tear up your evil decrees in Shemayim. You may not even realize that they're there, but they will tear it up. But again, the idea is supposed to be that we say that Hashem's name is blessed in Shemayim, and we want to get to the point of the Mos Mashiach where we can actually see, that everybody sanctifies Hashem's name, and this is a little bit of the way that we get there. Okay, we'll stop here for now. Next week we'll do one or two more halachos, and we'll do maybe a little bit of the Olas Tamin inside of reading the words of Kaddish and understanding a little bit more about what some of the rest of the words actually mean. Okay.
Shkach.
Shkach. Okay. Thank you.
I'm so sorry to both of you guys.
I should be recording.
First of all, I waited almost like 90 minutes for a trial.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
And I just was like, waiting, and just like lost track of time.
Wow.
So
that's really crazy.
I'm so sorry. I'm in the car. I'm like so happy. I'm like, ah. Oh.